And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the decision came down about Martha Stewart today. The verdict is guilty. 5 months in prison, 5 months house arrest. Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County, joins us from Culver Print, where Larry is currently working as the night manager there. He's also the chairman of the conservatives of Kern County. What, Larry, you are a more known for your work in conservative circles with the Republican Party. But, I with regard to the moral of life, especially when it comes to business, and the Republican Party being a traditional supporter of small and large business, what's the moral of the Martha Stewart story?
Well, it's interesting, Phil, that you put it in the context of the conservative policies of my political party. But I think the moral is that you have to beware of who you put your trust in. And Martha Stewart, I think, is an example of that kind of person that you let into your life, you trust them, and they wind up hurting you.
Well, you said in the press today, and if I got this quote right, you compared what Martha Stewart did to her fan base, of the people who believed in her, as molestation?
Well, I did, Phil. I really did, because that's how I'm feeling today. And I know there are millions of Martha Stewart fans, if you will, and friends who feel the same. I'm feeling as if I found out that someone that I let into my home every day, as millions of Americans did, has, in a way of speaking, performed some kind of an unnatural act on me, and it angers me. And
how many people today feel the way you do, personally let down?
Well, I mean, the woman had millions of viewers, millions of people let her into their homes, right into their home, where their wives and their husbands live, in their homes, where their children play. Right into there. And we find out today in a courtroom in New York that it was nothing more than, in a lot of ways, as I said to the LA Times today, an emotional pedophile playing with our feelings, smiling at us all the while, lying through that very attractive face of hers.
All right, so this is a very personal feeling that you have and that millions of Americans are having. I want to ask you if the sentence is just.
Well, I can hardly say yes to that. Think of the fact, in my case, I am unmarried. I was married to a woman who, in many ways, was like Martha Stewart, just to give an example of what I'm talking about. But
my question goes more to the justice of the verdict.
Well, let me finish my point here. The woman that I was married to, who was a beautiful woman, and a successful woman, as Martha Stewart was, did the same thing to me. She lied to me. And, in many ways, a liar at heart. So what I do, I let another one into my life, watching her show as we all did, reading her books as we did, applying many of the recipes and the decoration ideas as we all did for the second time in my life. This is the second time for Larry Grover, another beautiful and very accomplished woman, was not what she appeared to be. She was a liar, she was a thief, and yes, she was an emotional molester.
All right, we're talking with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County about Martha Stewart, and you have a very specific view of this verdict. Martha Stewart has, you call it, emotionally molested people.
And I do that for a reason, Phil. A very prominent member of my party, the Republican Party, Frank Ferris, before he got out of the service, he was dating and eventually fell in love with this young woman that he met in Europe, in Germany, as a matter of fact, while he was stationed there. And Frank was a gentleman. And he found out eventually that this gal that he was engaged to was one of these, what you want to call one of these transvestites or transsexual or something, and it devastated him. And he was in and out of the VA for a number of years. And I got off the phone with him today, and he said to me, Larry, it's like 1975 all over again. Just like my wife, they lift up their skirts in surprise. It's a guy. So,
all right, but Martha Stewart isn't a man, right?
No, it's a symbol that I'm using here, Phil.
All right, I just want to be clear here.
No, but it's a symbol. It's a symbol of her being found guilty today of lying. It's the same as her saying to all of us, I'm Martha Stewart, and I'm really a man. And not only that, she isn't really saying it. It's as if she flashed us. And that's the problem that I have today, that millions and millions of Martha Stewart fans have today. They feel as if they have been, in a way, as I said, a very unnatural thing has been done to them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I've heard a lot of interpretation and spin being given to the Martha Stewart verdict. Mr. Grover is talking about Martha Stewart as someone who has... You're not just saying she's let down her fans, she's let down her readers, she's let down her viewers. She has actively done something traumatic to them that you say is going to take them a long time to get over. There's going to be a... Is there going to be trauma associated with her conviction? How are her many followers and her many fans going to take this?
Well, we're all very disillusioned today. We're all very angry, those of us who are devoted to Martha. We are traumatized, yes.
But I mean traumatized. Is this something that you'll be able to get over in time?
I think it's a little insensitive to say get over it. And I don't mean anything by that, Phil, to you personally, but... Right now, I need some I can tell you personally, I need understanding as do other Martha Stewart fans and friends. I guess the big thing I want to say, I don't want to hear anybody say to me, we told you so, or you fell for it, or sucker, or something like that. That will be unacceptable. And I can tell you...
But isn't that the case?
I don't think so.
Isn't it the case if you believe in somebody that much that you're bound to get disappointed?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think we all have a right to feel that we can trust the individuals that ask us to trust them. I don't know what it is that you're trying to say.
Well, I'm saying this. She was a television personality, and that's all she was, really. And to say that you have been emotionally traumatized by her lies, don't you have more yourself to blame?
No, I don't, and I'll tell you why. And I've heard that argument before, but let me tell you why. The power of the media is such that we have reason to believe the things that people say to us because of the power and the money that is involved. Are you telling me I'm going to turn my television set on and watch Fox News or what have you, and I'm supposed to be critical of that and not say that they aren't credible?
Well, that's what I base my beliefs on. I mean, I have to look at everything askance.
Well, I think that then you're not human. You don't involve yourself with people. We, all of us who loved Martha Stewart, involved ourselves with Martha Stewart. And I can tell you, I had a coworker at the print shop say when they announced the verdict, he said, well, that's not a surprise. That was his comment. It was a guy by the name of Jim Ramone who said, it's not a surprise. I said to him, have you ever been molested? And he said, no, I haven't. I said, then how do you know what your words are doing right now to me? And so I would say the same thing to you, Phil. Have you ever been molested? Have you?
No, sir, I have not. I don't know that it's appropriate to compare. You feel like a fool? You feel guilty?
I remember that. Boy, do I ever. I can tell you, when I was a kid, but you've never been molested.
No, I have not. But are you saying that's what's happened to you?
I believe I've been saying that.
I mean, there are millions of people that have, and I don't know that it's proper to compare.
Well, let me tell you, I remember the cartoon. If you watch cartoons, I used to enjoy it, and they had this... It's a wolf or a coyote was chasing a bird, and the bird was always leading him off the end of the cliff or this kind of a thing.
And you talking about the coyote and the roadrunner?
I don't know the name of it, but I can recall looking at one of the episodes, the coyote, if that's what it was run off the end of this cliff, and before he begins to plummet, obviously to his death, he turns into this large lollipop, or a sucker, if you will. And I guess you could say the millions of Martha Stewart fans out there today have all been made into suckers for all the books we bought, for all the shows we watched, for all the products we sent away for our trust. She's run us right off the end of a cliff, and she's motoring away down a desert road much the same way that bird did to the wolf or the coyote.
And well, she isn't exactly motoring away. She's going to jail for 5 months.
Say that again, Phil?
She's going to jail for 5 months.
Well, she'll be out in 5 months. The rest of us will be... Well, she'll be out in 5 months, and the rest of us are still going to be bleeding. Just like this Kobe Bryant. He'll spend a little time in jail, but his victim will still be going to the various counseling and counter groups and so on and so forth for a long time.
All right, Larry Grover joins us. He is with Conservatives of Kern County. The verdict that Martha Stewart lied to federal investigators and the subsequent sentence of 5 months in jail, 5 months house arrest, has left Mr. Grover, and he says many Martha Stewart fans, if not millions, feeling as if she has, in many ways, emotionally molested everybody. She's lied. She said she was something that she wasn't. She was allowed into people's homes, and she turns around and becomes this horrific person. I don't know if you're a Martha Stewart fan, or if not, is that what, in fact, Martha Stewart has done? Not just that she's guilty, but that she is guilty of having traumatized emotionally her many fans by pretending she's something she's not, and therefore emotionally molesting them. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten any children? Have you seen them lately?
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County, a prominent member of the Republican Party. Larry is talking with us about the Martha Stewart verdict. Larry, Martha Stewart said today, and by the way, we'll get to our phone calls in a moment, our number 1-800-449-8686. Martha Stewart said today she hopes people will keep buying her magazines, keep buying her products. She hopes that people will continue to support her. You've just been talking about how she's seriously traumatized you and other Martha Stewart fans. Are you going to be able to do that?
I want to be able to do it. I heard what Ms. Stewart said today. I want to not let her down, but I'm also hurt by her lying. And I think I need, as well as millions of Martha Stewart friends and fans around the world, what we need is for her to acknowledge the pain that we're in right now. But I do want to do what she wants us to do. I do want to support her. I remember the first time I saw Martha on television. Mother and I, both from that day on, we trusted Martha into our home, and now it feels as if she's, in a lot of ways, she's rummaging through my own mother's underwear, and this to me is...
Well, you keep bringing up that comparison. And
well, I think it needs to be brought up in that context.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Joyce. Joyce, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
Larry Grover, I don't
yes,
know
ma'am.
Where... I'm Joyce. I'm from Boca Raton. I'm 80 years old.
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Conservative, and I'm a Republican. I've been shopping
Thank you very
at
much.
Kmart. I've been shopping at Kmart for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I buy Martha Stewart. She's a single mother that became a billionaire because she's a hard worker.
I don't doubt that.
And I don't know where you're getting your statistic comes, because every woman that I know of in my group thinks she has been abused.
Well, she's been... She
has been abused. She is not an Enron. She is not a global...
She lied to the United States Supreme Court.
Are you going to let me talk, or are you going to take over?
Well, I don't want to take over, but can you deny that she's lied to the United States Attorney? And the
Why don't we let Joyce finish what she's going to say, Larry?
Yes.
All right.
Why don't you at least...
just said that she feels she's been molested, too.
Let me talk. It's not Global Crossing that lost billions for people. It's not MCI that lost billions for people. It's not an Enron.
It's worse.
It's not a lay.
It's worse. Because it's an emotional molestation.
To who?
To
Are you?
You
a woman?
To you? To me?
Not to me.
Well,
not to me.
You're traumatized.
Not to any of my friends.
You're denying it. It'll come out in therapy later.
They think that she has been an abused woman, and that men are so jealous of her because they can't make a billionaire and she can.
All right, let me
and
jump
that's
in
your
here,
problem.
Joyce. Yeah, Joyce, let me jump
you're
in.
You're jealous.
Larry,
you
Joyce,
would like to be a billionaire, and
on.
You can't make it,
Joyce,
can you?
Hold on, this is Phil Hendry.
You can only complain.
Hold on, Joyce, this is Phil Hendry. I want to ask Larry. Now, you heard what Joyce said. She doesn't feel as if she's been abused.
Well, Joyce is like a lot of victims of this kind of abuse. It'll only come out later in therapy. Right now, she's denying it. And Joyce, I can only say this morning on national television, Martha Stewart lifted her skirt and showed all of her fans what she's really made of.
She showed what a gutsy woman she is.
Oh, my
and
God.
And then she will come back.
Oh,
I
my God.
You a
she's
bet
going
that
to
she'll come back before you will.
She's going to prison, lady. What are you talking about? Is this the example you set for your grandchildren?
Are you sure she'll go to prison?
I believe
she's
that's
appealing
what
the case.
Well,
are you sure she's going to go to prison?
I don't
Wonder
find her very appealing,
on
I'll
appeal,
tell you that.
They throw the case out.
Well, they may
You're
slip
not
on
a judge.
Appeal.
You don't know. You think you know the future, but you don't.
You know, Joyce, one day you'll remember the day your daddy might have done something to you. And then you'll say...
Well, wait a minute. I'm. First of all, Joyce is saying
what
that...
What are you intimating? Are you getting dirty?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that
I'm
victims...
I'm sure you are.
Dirty?
You're trying to make something of me that's not.
Ma'am, I'm a single man living with my mother.
I can see why you're living with your mother. I can see why. Grow up.
You
Get
know,
out of the house.
Ma'am...
Goodbye.
I was married to a woman much like Martha Stewart. She stuck it in my back then, and another beautiful woman's doing it again.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joyce brought up the possibility of an appeal.
Well, as I told Joyce, and I don't know if you heard me, I said, I don't find her very appealing. Okay, but in all seriousness, Phil, sure, they can appeal it, but while they appeal it, Martha Stewart will be in prison, sitting in a jail cell. With the other inmates, other lawbreakers, other individuals who have violated the confidence and trust of an American society that was put into them and given them every opportunity to succeed in a very legitimate and law-abiding way. And what did they do? They turned around and they broke their trust with the American people. Martha Stewart has done that, and not only has she done that, she has broken her trust with her fans and friends, and not only has she done that, but in my case, in many other people's cases, she has... Like I said, this is the second time around for me.
Well, you keep comparing this to your first marriage. You weren't married to Martha Stewart. 1-800-449-8686. Bridget, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
Hi.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment to this caller. I just turned on my radio and heard this man condemning Martha Stewart and saying that she owes us something. She never made herself out, portrayed herself to be Betty Crocker. She was a materialistic businesswoman who got a little bit greedy and thought she was above the law. And she made a mistake, but by God, get over it.
Wait a minute. Are you saying to me, were you a fan of Martha Stewart's? Or you?
Yes, I subscribed to her magazine. I had, I would...
Well, I don't
buy your recipes, and I got books.
I don't think you're being very honest to say, you know, it's not affecting you.
It isn't affecting me. I think that she had some great people
understand.
Working for her, and she had some good ideas. But
well,
I didn't look to her for moral... Excuse me, sir, I'm speaking.
Yes.
I did not look to her for moral guidance. I looked at her to learn how to organize my closet.
Well, ma'am, Martha Stewart's going to be organizing a jail cell soon.
And that's fine. She made a bad decision.
I can tell you. Well, see, but what you're saying is tacitly insulting to me because you're saying as a female you weren't all that enamored of her. And I'm a man, and I read all of her books. So what are you saying about me?
I don't think I'm just saying that I think that you're a little bit too sensitive and maybe you should be in some counseling.
I think that you... I need to be in counseling. What about you? I'm pleading to America to go out and I think we need to get rid of everything that Martha Stewart has written, her books, those sheets. I think we need to burn those sheets.
She didn't molest children, sir. She lied.
Yes.
She got greedy.
It was an emotional molestation of me.
Oh,
and, are you calling
for... You were a little bit too close to her, and you should have separated yourself a little bit.
Does
she know who you are, sir?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have a personal relationship with Martha Stewart?
Well, I think any individual like Martha Stewart believes she has a personal relationship with her fans and friends. And I'm saying the time has come for us to say, you're right, we should separate ourselves from Martha. And we start by burning those potpourri burners, burn her filthy magazines, and let's rid ourselves of this. Well, you can laugh if you want, man, but I think...
I am laughing because
yes,
I think that you're taking it a little bit too personally.
All right. Very good, Bridget. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Should Martha Stewart recognize she has traumatized millions of fans? Has she actually emotionally molested her fans? 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With me is Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County, prominent Republican here in the state of California and on the West Coast, and he's talking about Martha Stewart and the judgment today in the New York courtroom, remanding her to 5 months in prison in the custody of federal authorities and a five-month house arrest because of lying to federal prosecutors. Larry, you have mentioned, and our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, and there's a lot to talk about tonight, as we have been. You say that she's basically broken faith with her fans and her friends. It is almost the same as being emotionally molested, is the way you say. She is not who she appears to be, and you've even said that some kind of a boycott of her products, including the burning or symbolic burning of her products?
Phil, the only way to cleanse ourselves from this emotional abuse of Martha Stewart is after we do burn her sheets and all these bun cake recipes or whatever you want, scrub yourself of the filth. We've got to take a wire brush almost, and symbolically, of course, but a wire brush to cleanse every part of ourselves, because in a way, when you close your eyes at night and there's no one around and there are no talk shows to listen to and there's no television reports to review, at night when your eyes are closed and you lay alone in your own bed, as I do night after night since the divorce, you can almost feel her groping you. And to my way of thinking, it is the only way symbolically for us to... And what I'm saying, Phil, is this. Martha Stewart is a symptom of a larger problem. The faith that we've given to these people and what they've done. I can tell you right now, in the background, if you can hear it, my mother pulled about 360 thread count Martha Stewart sheets out of the... where'd you get those, buddy? Out of...
Are you burning those now?
Say that again, Phil.
Are you burning her sheets now?
Yes, we are. And that's my message to America tonight. Don't buy her books. Burn the books and the sheets.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You are really talking like a victim here, Larry.
Well, there are times that we are victims, Phil.
All right, let me go over to Cheryl. Hello, Cheryl. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
I had to
get out of my truck and come in the house to call. I cannot believe the insanity of this Larry guy, really. I'm not kidding you.
Well, I can tell you, ma'am, I've been a longtime viewer and fan of Martha Stewart's. She lied to federal prosecutors and in the process lied to each and every one of us. And I don't know if you own any of her products, but I can tell you right now, she's made you look like a dummy if you have. And
you know
me
what?
Too.
I
and
feel like to make a comparison with what she did, with what you're talking about, being emotionally molested, evidently you've never really, really, really been molested.
Yes, by Martha
That's
Stewart.
That's really sad.
By Martha Stewart, I have.
No, I don't think it's Martha Stewart. From what you're saying, I think that you have a problem with any kind of woman that might be strong and know who she is.
Why do you say that?
Because of the way you're talking. You sound like this big whiner, grown-up adult man who really isn't emotionally above a five-year-old.
Well, Larry, you mentioned that your first wife...
My wife, Carrie was a lot like Martha Stewart. Yeah, that doesn't mean that I have a problem with strong women.
Evidently, because you're not with one right now.
Wait a minute. I have a problem with strong women lying to me. Wouldn't you have a problem with a man lying to you?
It's only if you really think in your heart that she lied and that's all it is.
Oh, come on. She's been found guilty
of it. So what does that mean, really?
That means she's not the person who's the homemaker and all of this nonsense. She's a lying, thieving...
I don't think I'd go that far, no.
You know, first thing in the morning...
I think she got her hand caught in the cookie jar.
What do we tell our children?
What
do you tell your children?
She never did it for intention to hurt anybody.
What do you tell your children then, Cheryl, at the end of the day? Do you say it's okay to lie the way Martha Stewart did? And if you have to visit your children in prison for 5 months, that's okay with you because Mommy said it was all right?
I think there's a system out there that's big enough to treat people inadequately.
Mother and I stripped the sheets off of every bed in this house and we're burning them. And when you lay your head down on a Martha Stewart sage-colored pillowcase, you may as well be laying down on a filthy hooker's twin bed mattress.
All right, thank you very much, Cheryl. So, Larry, what we have is a you're actually burning it.
Yeah, I'm burning it. Get the other ones, too. Get them all. Burn them all, Mother. Mother's dragging them out of the house now. Get the mattress, too. Because
why would you burn the mattress?
Because the filthy sheets have infected it. You've got the sheets, more lighter fluid. You've got the sheets that have stenched up the mattress, and I don't want it. Martha Stewart lied to me and lied to millions of American men and women. And
well, I'll tell you this much. The lady made a good point about you having a problem with strong women.
I don't think she did.
Yes, she did, because you kept comparing Martha Stewart to your wife. And you keep saying, Mother and I stripped the beds.
Well, we did. What's wrong with that?
Well, the way you say Mother and I.
I don't understand.
What do you say, like, my mother and I stripped? What do you mean, Mother and I? Is that what you call her?
Yes, she's mother. Oh, I get it. So that makes me little Mary Jane, huh? You think I'm little Ponzi because of that? Mr. Henry,
What are those tin cans?
It's actually a coffee cup. I'm making, as long as we're burning the sheets, I thought I'd make some coffee. So.
Okay.
More, Mother, more lighter fluid. That's it, Mother. Oh, no, not that.
Okay, so Larry is, good going, Larry. Burning those Martha Stewart sheets. I'm making coffee. He's got a campfire going on the Martha Stewart burning sheets. All right. Well, there's Larry. So Martha's going away, and she's going to be going to a federal prison where she will, in point of fact, probably do a world of good for a lot of the looks of the federal prison cell. She'll probably get a nice ballpoint pen ink tat. She'll get a girlfriend named Snake or Midge. And she'll come out with the spiked hair and kind of the yellowing teeth, you know, kind of the cigarette stains in the teeth, and she's going to be a whole new woman. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I would rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree than look at you.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up, we're going to talk with Asa Khalif, head of Racial Unity USA, to talk to us about Whoopi Goldberg, who's been dropped from Slim Fast. They say because of comments she made about President Bush a week or so ago. I say they. Everybody says it's because of that. Some people say that's wrong that it's because of that. Other people say, I guess it's cool that it's because of that. But we'll talk to her. Not Whoopi, but this other person. And we're also going to have a mailbag for you today, a couple of flashbacks. And this is the Phil Henry Show, live back from vacation, where we went to the sunny climes of Mexico, deep into the jungle down there in the state of Guerrero. I don't want to say exactly where we were, because if I did, then people may want to actually go there, or they might want to avoid the place. I hope, because this was the best hotel I ever stayed in my life anywhere. You see, Mexico affords that kind of an opportunity. This is what I've been telling you guys for years. Years I've been saying this. Best hotels, best food, best climate, best everything. Best people, best country, best beaches, best drink, best women, best men. Well, I wouldn't know, but Pelton tells me that it's quite nice. And all for, like, not as much money as you'd think. And that's where we go. I mean, sure, yeah, someday I'd like to travel the globe and explore the Andes and go deep inside a Cambodian temple or something. Or, you know, crawl through those little rat holes in Vietnam. Whatever the hell these guys do. What's this book my wife's reading right now? Nicholas Sparks Travels with His Brother Eddie or something. You know, this Nicholas Sparks is, this guy is something. Have you read this book he did? Love Letters. Did you ever hear about the movie with Kevin Costner? Janice, you hear about it? Kevin Costner, Love Letters. Did you ever hear of this? There's a new book out called, no, new movie out called The Notebook with James Garner and Gina Rowlands. This is based on this Nicholas Sparks. You talk about a guy born with a horseshoe up his rear end. This Nicholas Sparks, he's making all kinds of gem on this literary career he has. Anyway, he wrote a book about traveling the world with his brother. And my wife's reading this thing, and she said, well, we have to do that next. I said, yeah, as soon as I can get 3 straight weeks off and 40 G's, you bet, babe. When's that going to be? They're going to let me have 3 straight weeks off from anything. They won't let me have three straight weeks off from life. 3 straight weeks off from, I can't even have 3 straight weeks off from staying awake. So anyway, whatever that means, I'm down there in Mexico, and the other thing about this guy Sparks, by the way, just as an aside, my wife read that thing, Love Letters, and she almost puked through every page. I said, why are you, she, every time at night she'd be reading a book, and then she'd turn the light off, she'd go, and I'd hear this, oh, God. I go, what? Oh, it's the worst piece of garbage I've ever, it's the most boring, saccharine, insufferably sweet, dull junk. It's just, in other words, it's written for women. She goes, yes. Anyway, she was down there reading that thing. She said, well, when we get back, we have to do this worldwide trip, you know, with the brothers. They went all over the place. I said, yeah, okay, fine. I mean, but for now, Mexico is for me. Now, I was down there. We were there for a week. And this hotel we were at, I wish I'd tell you the name of it, but then I'd just be making it a worse place to stay the next time I go down. Not that I got anything against you guys, but you'll understand that me and Ben Affleck, cats like that, we have to keep our, you know, incognito status. So anyway, we're down there, and the people are the friendliest people in the world. And the food, oh my God, I had grilled lobster at this one night in the restaurant in the hotel. And this hotel restaurant is where all the Mexican tourists go. I've never been on a vacation in Mexico where I've seen more Mexican tourists. But they were all over the place. And they were from Mexico City and everywhere. And I asked a couple of them, kids who were there. I said, what are you guys doing here? They said, well, you know, we're up here to eat the food. They were down in Ixtapa. You ever heard of Ixtapa? You ever heard of Cancun? Same thing. It's, in other words, a manufactured resort town. The Mexican government said, let's make a resort town. It ain't my thing. I'm not into senior frogs. Thank you very much. You know what I'm saying? Dude, you know, in other words, if you want to go underneath the barmaid who is pouring tequila from her brassiere, actually, I would like to do that, but I have to say that I don't want to do that, being a married guy. But in other words, senior frogs, I'm getting away from the freaking gringos acting stupid, man. I'm living here every day with them. Why do I want to go down to Mexico and hang out with a bunch of Americans? What's the point of that? You got to be some kind of insecure, some kind of a little girl and a little boy to go down to Mexico, and the first place you want to go is to where all the Yanks hang out. What the hell for? I'm going to go down to Senior Frogs, and what's the other joint they got down there? Anything they got in America, in some of these towns in Mexico they got, because some Americans cannot go 5 feet outside their front door without seeing a Burger King sign. And they got the foam dance parties, and they do the Jello shots. In other words, and they call it Senior Frogs, so I guess it's got to be Mexican. You walk into those joints, and here's what you see. A whole bunch of white guys about, oh, I don't know, 25, 30, 35 years old. Some of them with wives, some of them with girlfriends, and some of them sans woman. They're all wearing the tank top with a variety of the barbed wire tattoo around the arm. Yeah, or some kind of a tat. Most of them with the shaved head, some guys with whatever. And they're all wearing the usual kind of fat pants shorts with their sneakers. Cats with these sneakers, man. Put on a pair of sandals or something. You're down in the tropics. And they all have got the big plastic cup of beer standing at those tall bistro tables. And there's the Mexican waitress on the bar, and she's doing her act. And they're all, woo! And then she says, free tequila! And so all these guys start doing a kind of a conga line up to the chick where she's pouring tequila out of some sort of a vessel that she has hidden in her blouse. So it looks like, you know, it's mother's milk, I guess. And these guys have their mouths open like baby chicks waiting for the morning slop. Just, ah! And she's squirting the worst tequila that they got. You know, Americans will drink any kind of garbage can tequila because they don't know any better, right? So that what the Mexicans do is they burn a bunch of tires, melt those down, throw some alcohol into it. They call it tequila, and they can sell it to the Yanks for like $10 a shot. So there's all these dumb Yanks down there with their big fat mouths open, just And this is the scene that you see in a lot of these towns. So I would rather just sort of stay far away from that. Although we did go into Ixtapa one night because my wife wanted, this is my wife's kick, is sushi. She's got to have sushi, dude. You know, I was talking to the great Paul Rodriguez, the comic, because when we were doing that Dennis Miller show, and on the Miller set, they have a table that you lean on with your elbows. When you're talking to Dennis, you're doing a panel discussion. And the first thing Rodriguez said was, feels like I'm sitting at a sushi bar. And it did. You know how you lean forward at the sushi bar? And I said, well, have you ever had sushi? And he looks at me and says something along the lines of, look, I like women, so I have had sushi. In other words, if there's a woman in your life, pal, you better get used to eating sushi. Sure enough, my wife wants to go hunting up sushi in Ixtapa. And we got out of some place where I walked into the joint. It smelled like the inside of someone's basement, and they were serving, their specialty were martinis and sushi. It just doesn't go together. What? What do you mean martinis and sushi? What's that about? I took a look at the menu. I said, let's get out of here, you know. So I went down to another place, this Mexican place, about five doors down, and it was phenomenal, man. When you ask for a shot at tequila in Mexico, they're not giving you the little legal pour. It's a legal pour. Well, this is good for you. Hey, it's a legal pour. All right, I'll make sure I let your boss know. I'm looking for something more like an illegal pour. So anyway, but then we went back to where we were staying, and I'm telling you, it's the most beautiful place in the world. In the world. And I ate like a pig, but I actually sweated off a lot of weight because, thanks to my Cortislim, went walking on the beach. It's about 100 degrees down there this time of year, and everywhere you go, you're going to sweat like a stuck pig. And you're just, you know, you're just losing gallons of water every day. And I actually went out and said, let's take a bike ride. Oh, yeah, okay. So I'm out on a bicycle. I'm riding through this fishing village at 158 degrees. And all the Mexicans look at me like, look at that white boy. Woohoo! Man, he going to die. And then flying home was phenomenal. I got to tell you, coming home is always great. But I don't like sitting on an airline, on an airplane, and listening to the flight attendant complaining about how much she makes, the quick turnaround she has to do, and, oh, yeah, a guy tried to get into the cockpit on their way to Calgary on one flight. Are you ready for this? This is the flight attendant talking like this with an earshot of the customers. She's talking to some guy who's sitting, I guess he was a pilot who worked for the same airline. She's, oh, yeah, well, you know, and you know what? I've been on it 3 months, but I like the money that we get paid and all this stuff. And she said, and then we had a guy try to get into the cockpit. I finally said something to her, which embarrassed the hell out of my wife, but it's the kind of guy that I am. I said, excuse me, do you have any mints? She goes, mints? And I said, and I waved her over and I said, you know, you're a flight attendant on an aircraft with a lot of people who depend on you for their safety, and you're talking about guys breaking into cockpits and how little money you make. I don't suggest it's appropriate, ma'am. And she looked at me and she said, thank you, sir. And she shook my hand. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, a mailbag coming up, a couple of flashbacks, and other things in the news. The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Joining us now is Ms. Asa Khalif. She's the head of Racial Unity USA. That's the name of the organization. To talk with us about Whoopi Goldberg, who was dropped from the, what is it, Janice? Slim Fast, yes, commercials. Okay. Because allegedly of the comments that she made and her general behavior, at a John Kerry fundraiser in New York last week. If you don't know, apparently she got on stage and made some sort of a sexual innuendo out of the last name Bush, and was walking around with a bottle of wine and so on and so forth. Slim Fast dropped her, saying that it was inappropriate. And Ms. Khalif joins us. Now, you believe, ma'am, that this was a racist move on the part of Slim Fast from start to finish. Is that correct?
That is correct, Phil, yeah.
And just so I'm clear, you are a black female?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I'm...
What is this? This is the Phil Hendry Show, right?
Yes, it is, ma'am.
All right.
Okay. Now, Ms. Khalif, Tell me why you feel this is racist that Whoopi Goldberg was dropped from the Slim Fast commercials. I mean, you saw her behavior, and also Ms. Goldberg was quoted as saying that the economic boycott called on or called for by some Republicans is an effort to censor her.
Well, that's absolutely right. That's what Whoopi said, and that's what we did say. And the reason why we did that is because we want to get a little bit of publicity for our ridiculous little organization, which I'm sure you've never heard of.
And, well, no, ma'am, I have not.
Right. Well, neither have I, Frank. And I work for them, but no, I've heard of them, but I hadn't heard of them before they offered me the job. But the money was good. And you know, every now and again we have to, especially if we have a black performer or any black figure who is prominent, and they have been accused of some inappropriate behavior, and they are commercially punished because of that, we must say it's racist.
Well, why do you have to say it's racist?
Because if we face the facts and the truth, which is that her inappropriate behavior led to her dismissal from the Slim Fast campaign, as well as the right of anybody to economically boycott anybody else also being a free speech matter, if we actually admitted to that, then there wouldn't be any need for my organization, and I wouldn't be, you know, on your show right now. And
oh, okay, right, I get it. Ms. Khalif, you just said it. Isn't an economic boycott, isn't that also free speech?
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to admit that because...
Why?
Because I'm black. And I run a black... What are you, stupid? I run a black...
All right, I want to make sure that...
And Whoopi Goldberg is a prominent black... I don't know what... What does she do?
She's an actress.
Oh, okay. She's a black... She's a black actress, and she's, you know, I guess they say she's funny, although I... In any event, she said that she, you know, she was making some comments about Bush.
No, I know what she said, and I know what she did. You said that her being dropped from Slim Fast was racist.
Yeah, of course I'm going to say that. I have to say it's racist. It's the quickest way to sort of cloud the argument. What, in point of fact, Whoopi did, if she were working for me, I would have fired her. But let's put the cart before the horse, shall we? Okay, let's count our chickens before they're hatched. Number one, Whoopi's black. Number two, she got fired from a gig. Number three, it's racist. Now, I can give you all of the reasons why I believe that it is racist. And
well, give them to me. I want to know why you believe it's racist.
Because she gets to do what she wants to. I don't understand.
You said you could give me the reasons.
Well, I said I could give you the reasons, but you actually want me to give you the reasons?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, she...
All right, look. First of all, an economic boycott called for by these so-called Republicans, where they didn't want her to be a part of these campaigns, commercial campaigns, because of her actions, is that not free speech as well?
I never looked at it that way, but...
But, I mean, isn't that what Martin Luther King used to great effect, the economic boycott? I mean, he boycott businesses, he boycott bus lines, he boycotted bus lines, I should say. In other words, he did the very same thing that a lot of these so-called Republicans or conservatives are doing to Whoopi Goldberg. Isn't that free speech, too?
Well, now you're wondering, what, do you want to confuse me? I mean, first of all...
No, I'm not trying to... No.
First of all, Mr. Henry, you bringing up Martin Luther King is inappropriate because you're white. I can talk about him because I'm a black female, because I'm black, and because I also happen to be a young, delicate female. But Martin Luther King boycotted people because of their racism. The people that are boycotting Whoopi Goldberg are boycotting her because she's unfunny and stupid, and that's not fair.
And it, why?
Because you can boycott people if they're racist. You don't boycott them because they're not funny. That's never been done before.
And well, they're not boycotting her because she isn't funny. They're boycotting her because she's tasteless and because, what, frankly, she didn't really make much of a point with her behavior, and because they don't think it's representative of someone who should be, you know, for instance, the spokesperson for something like Slim Fast.
I mean, look, the only person you really want to have a spokesperson for Slim Fast is someone who's skinny, all right? Now, if they wanted a canned Whoopi for something, can her because, you know, burritos are not called for in a Slim Fast diet. I mean, I just talked to Whoopi 2 days ago, and I said to her girlfriend, I believe is what I call her, I said, girlfriend, you, woohoo, man, look at that thigh. And that was just one thigh. And the next day, I was able to get around to her next thigh. I mean, it took us all day to talk about the one. So, no, she's not losing any weight because she's not using the product. So if they want to boycott her, say that she's being boycotted because she's not using the product and therefore she's lying about the product. But don't boycott her because she said something crude about Bush. Everybody's doing it. I mean, it's making a lot of people a lot of money.
Well, look, wait a minute. Ms. Cully?
Are you denying that Michael Moore isn't making a lot of money? Are you denying that that rapper, whatever his name is, Jackass or something, he's making a lot of bread just knocking Bush? Why doesn't Whoopi get to put her beak in the water? Why doesn't she get to take a little taste, huh? Is it all for the white man and none for the black woman? See, as a black woman, this is what I've been talking about for years. Why do I have to sit there and scrub people's floors? You know, I remember, Phil, before I joined Racial Unity USA, I was a cleaning woman. And the, you know, person would say, would you mind doing the laundry? And I'd say, boy, you racist son of a... And I'd be smoking a cigar, and I'd say, do you mind if I finish my smoke? And to me, all of these things add up to one thing. They add up to the need for an organization to scream racism, even if it doesn't exist in any given case. Whoopi Goldberg is fat. That's why she should have been dropped from Slim Fast.
Would you endorse, then, Slim Fast dropping her because she's fat?
Well, look, I told Whoopi, try cutting off some dreadlocks, you might lose 20 pounds. And that was just a joke, but in point of fact, it's true, because I don't know when the last time was that she washed them, and so they probably, you know, about 60 pounds of dirt sitting in there. Anyway, no, I think that if they dropped her because she's a lard ass, that would have been fine, but then it would also undercut my argument, so I can't really answer your question directly. In other words, I can't give you a straight answer.
Well, wait a second. Would it be okay if they dropped her and they said, look, Whoopi, you're just fat, and you're not using the product, and forget about what she said to Bush?
Well, let me put it this way. If they would have fired her because she's a tub of guts, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. And so that would be bad for our organization. what's the name of it?
Racial Unity USA.
Yeah, the one that I'm president of. It wouldn't be good for our organization. So I'm kind of glad that they did drop her when they did. And they should have. See, they should have dropped her because she was fat.
Well, you know what? You're probably right. They should have dropped her. But I suppose that she could have said the product doesn't work.
That would have been, yeah, that would have been good. You want to work for us? I didn't even think of that.
And, all right, well, look, Ms. Khalif.
You can call me Mrs.
Really? Are you married?
Yeah, we just 2 days ago. And he's a great guy. So we're... He's a white man, but I figure what the hell. He's done very well by himself. And
But you still go by Asa Khalif?
I go by Asa Khalif Moore. So,
all right, thanks a lot. Asa Khalif, who's the president of Racial Unity USA, on Whoopi Goldberg being dropped as the spokesperson for Slim Fast. It's racist, but no, then again, it really isn't. Cut off some dreadlocks, you'll lose 60 pounds. Coming up, a life imitates Phil. That's right, something that I said on the air actually happened later as life imitates Phil. And our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we have a life imitates Phil. You know that Marine that suddenly has turned up here in the United States at Quantico, Virginia? He might have been perpetrating a hoax. And it was exactly as we predicted a couple of weeks ago. And so we'll have a life imitates Phil for you this hour, as well as a Bobby Dooley flashback. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg, I was in Mexico when I got the word on her behavior at that fundraiser, and I figured by the time I got back, the whole thing would have blown over, and it has. Although, I guess the Slim Fast news came down just yesterday or today, so she's been dumped from that. And why don't you just admit it? You can't continually, like, eat human babies and say you're on Slim Fast. You don't look skinny. Now, me, I can pitch that Corda Slim until the cows come home. You want to know why? Because I'm a slim, trim guy. Not completely slim and trim, but trim enough. I ain't lying. I'm walking around Mexico in these... I brought along maybe 5 pairs of pants, and they're all falling down. See, I don't wear a belt. Not that I don't, you know, need a belt, but I didn't think I needed a belt. You know, when you get fat, you get rid of your belts. That's the first thing you get rid of. Are you going to wear a belt? Do I look like I need to wear a belt? Do you want... You want me to go and... I'm going to have to go down to the store and find, do they have belts that come in 63? I mean, I don't know. That's why you see fat guys wearing suspenders. Now, I don't even know why they wear those. Your fat alone will keep your pants up. But gradually, I find myself walking down the hallways of life, pulling my pants up. Why? Cortislim. And even I don't want to get on a whole pitch for that, although I could. But see, Whoop, she says that they dumped her because they're denying her right to free speech, and they want to boycott her products because they're denying her right to free speech. Look, don't you just find it curious? I mean, I'm just asking this as a reasonable man. Don't you find it amazingly curious and almost hysterically funny? Another celebrity squealing about having their First Amendment rights curtailed, even as they're speaking into the microphones of hundreds of news services. I mean, what do you get the irony of that? Every time one of these celebrities says that they're getting their First Amendment rights curtailed, they're saying it to 5 million microphones. Look, I got a great idea for you, Whoop. If you're getting your First Amendment rights curtailed, why don't you, whatever it is you got to say, as long as you got the 50 million microphones in front of your fat face, then why don't you say that then? Say Bush is this and Bush is that. Go ahead, say it. Did you really think that Slim Fast wanted a commercial spokesperson who is then going to go out and get very heavy, give a lot of heavy political commentary? Look, you know, Cortislim or the people that sponsor my program do it with their eyes wide open. They know what I do. I'm a satirist and a commentator. That's my job. Right? Whoopi Goldberg, I don't know. They're still trying to figure out what it is she does for a living, man. They're still studying that at MIT, Caltech. I mean, they got microscope. They got the Hubble telescope on that one. And these days, you'd need the Hubble telescope to see her career. I realize that's a little low blow, but hey, she's doing better than me. But to start screaming about the fact that you're getting your First Amendment rights abused because you couldn't go on stage and talk about playing the stereotype of every urban wino. What was she have a wine bottle or something? Was that what she was doing? Well, what are you trying to do or prove? Can you just somebody kind of clue me on that one? What is that? That's not even political commentary or satire. That's just, it's sort of lowbrow. It's like sitting on a liquor store stoop. Making jokes about the guy's name? Now, here's the thing. Did they release that videotape because they wanted him to release it? They said, hey, show it, man. Show the videotape. Show the world this little celebration that you guys put on. I have not found, and when I was in Mexico, I got into a very interesting conversation with a couple. We met a very nice couple from Boise, Idaho. And we were talking to these guys about the world and this and that. And when I say, I don't go to Mexico to hang out with Americans, sometimes you can't avoid it, especially staying in the five-star hotels we stay in. But anyway, now they were nice people, and so I said, by the way, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I'm an attorney. And he said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a broadcaster. He said, oh, really, what? I said, well, I do a radio show. Oh, so tell me about your show. I said, well, I do these funny voices. Wait a minute, my wife and I heard your show. We were driving across Eastern Oregon. Oh, that's the funniest thing. I said, would you like my autograph? He goes, yeah, and he handed me the bill. So he handed me the check. Now, anyway, so this guy is going on about his whole opposition to the Iraq War. I'm telling you, every time I get into a conversation with people like this, never do they ever present any truly compelling case for it. All they ever do is regurgitate the same stuff that's been discredited over and over again. The guy even went so far as to say, check this out. He said, well, I mean, even when we went into Bosnia, the United Nations gave its sanction. And the UN, I said, no, they didn't. It was a NATO operation. It wasn't a UN operation at all. He goes, oh, really? Oh, my God. So every time that they start bagging on the foreign policy of this country, it comes down to this Bush bash, right? I mean, there's no real specific argument concerning the policy. The guy is a turd. And you can make a whole lot of money doing it. Like, I didn't say it. Asa Khalif said it, that sweet young thing. She said, hey, why not? Man, a lot of people making a lot of coin just basically dumping on Bush, just squatting and relieving themselves on Bush. Because, look, if fat ass can make the kind of change he's making, Whoopi's going to get up there and try it. She's fat. Why can't she? And the other thing that I think is interesting is that this kind of behavior, which is not funny, I mean, seriously, it ain't even funny. I mean, but then Whoopi Goldberg's never been funny in her life. thank God they bumped her off that Academy Awards. I thought I was going to blow my brains out. If I had to hear one more year, and coming back as the host of the Academy Awards, Whoopi Goldberg, I was going to kill myself. It's the whole reason why I can't stand watching Hollywood Squares, although I do religiously. Every time they go to the middle square, although I did like her on Star Trek. She played, what was that, Guyan? She played that 9-million-year-old lady who was always giving Jean-Luc Picard the whole, the good lowdown and everything. Funny how he always was still getting into trouble. Now, she was pretty cool on that show. But funny she ain't. And when she gets out there with the wine bottle and she starts going with the Bush joke, oh, come on, baby. Who else got out there? Anybody else? I got to see the videotape of that. I think what we're going to try and do is run that back-to-back with the Nick Berg video. That is, to me, that's a 1-2 gangbuster. That's a 1-2 punch you can't forget. The Nick Berg video followed by Whoopi slopping around with a wine bottle. Was she really hammered? What kind of wine was it? Would it make me racist if I said Night Train? Or should I say it's Corbett Canyon? 1-800-449-8686. Yasmin, hello?
I'm on?
Yes, ma'am, you're on.
Yeah,
the Phil Henry Show.
I was, hi. I was listening to your show. I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, ma'am.
And I got the satire. I totally got what you were doing with the Whoopi Goldberg thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was just calling because basically I get really frustrated when people who, quote, represent the black community are quoted as if they represent all of us. I mean, this organization, I don't know who they are.
Right.
I never heard of them before.
Well, that was part of our whole sort of sending up of them, is they wouldn't be famous if they didn't make these outrageous statements.
Mm-hmm. I get that. I just think it would help the discussion or the debate a lot more if you talk to real black people to counteract it.
Do you know any?
Well, me, I'm one.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
There are about 30 million of us. I'm sure you could find one.
Yeah, but they may not agree with you.
Yeah, they may or they may not.
Would they be representing the black community if they disagreed with you?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, and would they be representing the black community if they agreed with you?
Yeah, sure. There's not one streamlined in our community.
There is no real representation of the black community.
No, there isn't. I mean, we're like anybody else.
Right.
We have diverse opinions and thoughts, but I feel like in the media, we're constantly portrayed as being on one extreme or the other. You either have one person who's yelling racism, everything is racism, or one person who's saying, oh, no, there's not any racism. Most of us are somewhere in between. I think Whoopi Goldberg got fired from Swim Fast because she said something really controversial and they don't want controversy.
Yeah,
That's why she got fired.
Well, I'll tell you what, it happens in this business all the time. You'll get sponsors canceling from your show because they realize that what you do for a living is very controversial, and you say controversial things, and people get complaints. I mean, it's not like it's about, yeah, exactly, Yasmin, it ain't about racism. It's that she said something that Slim Fast don't want her to say. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time now for Life Imitates Phil. Well, I think it's Corporal Wasef Ali Hassoun, the Marine who disappeared in Iraq and turned up in Lebanon 3 weeks ago, or 3 weeks later, I should say, will remain at Quantico Marine Base until he's deemed fit to return to duty. Now, the Navy has said it is investigating whether the abduction might have been a hoax. But the Navy Criminal Investigation Service is not expected to question Hassoun until his repatriation procedure is completed. Now, this guy was alleged to have been abducted by terrorists, but then they said they let him go, and then some terrorists said, no, we never abducted any U.S. Marine, and it's possible the videotape that was released showing him with a blindfold and somebody with a gun on his head might have been a complete and utter hoax. Well, back on July the 6th, we speculated as such before anybody else had been doing that. Here is another Life Imitates Phil. So where is he? if he's free, if he's not with them anymore, why hasn't he made his way back to his unit? Perhaps he did indeed go AWOL and is staying with people, you know, that we don't know anything about. Although the Marine Corps didn't believe that it was true, there was a picture of him blindfolded. Maybe it was a bunch of his friends that got together and put a blindfold on him and said, this will do it. Okay, what are you guys kidding? No, just put the blindfold on. We'll pretend like, well, get out of the Bermuda shorts at least. What? Well, you can stand there in freaking flowered swimming trunks? Put on some Arab stuff. Okay. Gonna make it believe like I got my head cut off. All right, okay. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. So then they do, we are the... Now, you're gonna have to make it more convincing than that, you know. All right, we are the army of Allah and the... All right, moving on. And we're going to cut the infidel's head off. You know. Okay, good. Now let's get some beers. They run out, get some Rolling Rocks, and they wait around to read the press. Maybe that's it. Now that I would believe. You know, all these people saying the U.S. set up all those beheadings? I don't believe we did that, but it's possible that this guy is... He's trying to make his way maybe down to Puerto Rico. He knows he can, like Carlito, you know, he's going to start a car rental business in the Bahamas, and he just doesn't want any hassle. All right, put the blindfold on me. All right, now do the thing. We believe in it. Oh, shut up. Zoom in on me, man. You notice the guy's got a little bit of a smile on his face here, like he's listening to his friend do a bad Arab accent, and he's just, oh, man. All right, let me see the... What are you doing? What? You're wearing freaking swimming trunks. The other guy over here with the flip-flops. Come on. Arabs don't wear that. You're a terrorist. Now, come on. Get dressed up Arab style. Well, I don't know what it is, man. I got some JCPenney Dockers. Not JCPenney Dockers. What do you want to do? Go out of the bazaar? Yeah, get some pants that look real. JCPenney. Yeah, what they do? They just open up another franchise over here? South Baghdad JCPenney? They got the shopping carts down there? And another thing, man, Arabs don't wear no Cabo Wabo... Get that Cabo Wabo shirt off. They're dusting off the hot seat for me. So it's a hoax, baby, it's a hoax. That Arab cat, who's a Marine, might have just pulled the whole thing together, got his friends together, got a few shooters down there at Senior Frogs and said, I got it, why don't we pretend like I've been abducted? And how do we know? Maybe it's a whole CIA setup, too, to make us all look like schmucks. You can't believe anything anymore, right? It's all George Bush's fault, as far as I'm concerned. God, why didn't I stay in Mexico? A lot of you may be wishing the same thing. No kidding, man. This has got to be the stupidest country on the face of the earth. And if we are... Well, we can't be the stupidest country on the face of the earth. We're pretty dumb, so that means everybody else is dumber than us. No kidding, it's getting depressing. But go down to Mexico for a while and can just drown your sorrows, man. Do you have the quote, by the way, Janice? As long as we're talking about drowning our sorrows, every time I see Whoopi Goldberg, I want to do another bottle of Herradura. Do you have the exact quote? Because I understand it was something rather inflammatory. Goldberg, a devout Democrat, did not spare Bush in her monologue. Anybody who could wave to Stevie Wonder isn't fully there, she said to howls from the audience. But she also produced a few embarrassed grimaces with an unstable, an unsubtle anatomical double entendre enjoining voters to keep Bush where it belongs and not in the White House. The performance, which, where does it belong? There ain't a whole lot of women anymore with, well, anyway. The performance, which overshadowed appearances by stars ranging from, you know, when your wife asks you for the BIC these days, you don't know what's... Anyway, the performance, which overshadowed appearances by stars ranging from hip-hop idol Wyclef Jean to actor Paul Newman. Paul Newman, huh? Is he with these people? Newman, are you running with these people? Oh, my God, I'll never buy a bottle of his salad dressing again. Now, look at that. All them kids are going to suffer, Newman, because of you. I thought you had your act together a little bit. I realize that Joanne Woodward's a little bit of a beard, and there have been rumors, but you know, no, I'm not blaming you for that. Actress Jessica Lange, always a real brain surgeon when it comes to politics. Huh? Jessica Lange? The one that was in the fake hand, the King Kong ape hand? Her? That's the only movie I ever saw her in. I vowed I would never watch another Jessica Lange movie as long as I lived. And I understand she's made some great ones. But because of that whole ape picture, I've totally boycotted her. It's probably racist against King Kong. Actress Jessica Lange branded the Bush administration a self-serving regime of deceit, hypocrisy, and belligerence. While comic Chevy Chase heaped score on Bush's intellect, this guy's as bright as an egg timer. Now, why couldn't he have been that funny on that TV show he had? Hey, Chase, you picked the wrong time to get funny. Also on the bill were rockers John Bon Jovi, the Dave Matthews Band, and John Fogerty. Now, Fogerty, I get. Even Dave Matthews, I get. John Bon Jovi? Singer John Mellencamp, hip-hop artist Mary J. Blige, comic John Leguizamo, actress Meryl Streep, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Queen Victoria. Well, I got to tell you something, man. He's got some pretty heavy-osity friends. So, Whoopi, here's the story. If you're going to go out and say stuff, you know, especially when it's controversial, yeah, they're going to drop you. Boy, you ought to try doing this job. Fortunately for me, I've been at it for so long, and we now make it so clear to our advertisers and to our sponsors what our show is about, we don't have this problem anymore. We tell them it's a fairly controversial show, we do some pretty sharp satire, we make some comments, and you're going to get complaints. And the advertiser is then told up front. Now, we say, well, do you want to be a part of the show or not? We certainly do appreciate your patronage. I bless the day that I met every one of my advertisers, the ones that have hung with me. I love them all. And we say, now that's the story. Now, we just want to let you know going in. And the advertisers that are with me today understand that. Because they know what this is about, right? Now, if they hire Whoopi Goldberg because she's kind of cute and she did Ghost and she's Guinan on Star Trek and she's just sort of a smartass on the Academy Awards and everything's good, and then all of a sudden she's coming out with Keep Bush Where It Belongs while she's sucking down a bottle of Ripple, yeah, of course they're going to get freaked. Wait, what is this?
Well, it's just my personal opinion.
What do you mean your personal opinion? I'm trying to get fat people skinny. What are you doing to me over here? Keep Bush Where It Belongs. Oh, why don't you guys loosen up, man? It's the 21st century. Hey, don't tell me my business, okay, Miss Goldberg? What is it with that name anyway? Is that really the slave master? Okay. Now, look, I got to tell you something, Miss Goldberg. If you don't mind, I'd like you to just keep your comments. I have a right to my First Amendment or Fourth Amendment. I'm not even sure which amendment it is, but ain't it got something to do with speech? Yeah, sure. How about just limiting your speech to, hi, I'm Whoopi Goldberg, and I lost 50 pounds off my ass because I haven't done it yet? Well, okay. Don't blame the product, though. I'd like to know where it says pork rinds figure into the diet. Well, sir, no, Miss Goldberg, I want to ask you a straight question. Where does it say you can eat pork rinds? I think that's really racist. Miss Goldberg, I'm not being racist. I'm asking you, as the representative of SlimFast, where does it say in the contract that you get to use our product, we pay you, and you are the spokesperson for it, and in the meantime, you've got pork rind wrappers in the back of your BMW? What is that about? Well, you just can't tell me what to do. I can tell you what to... Well, then I'm going to tell you that you're not going to sponsor our product anymore. Well, then for that, I'm going to say that you're a racist. It's not fair. Why don't you go back to your real name, Karen Elaine Johnson? Whoopi Goldberg? You sound like you're some kind of a five-points Jewish clown from the gay 90s. What is that about? Hi, I'm Whoopi Goldberg, with all the big flat shoes and stuff. Not only that, you got the dreadlock thing going on, and you look like maybe you're a roadie for Bob Marley. I don't know what's going on. Pork rinds? Out. Burritos? Out. Small children? Out. Try drinking water. Thank you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We got a flashback with Chris Norton and Bobby Dooley, and Phil's mailbag ahead.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association joined us, Bobby Dooley, recently to talk about a fashion show that she and the other ladies in her community are putting on, their Summertacular. And she noted that there was a new resident of the neighborhood, a new young wife who wanted to be a part of their Summertacular organizing committee, and Bobby doesn't want her to get too close. She wants to take a wait-and-see attitude. She doesn't like people cozying up to her. And Bobby, in fact, was talking about the fashions that they were wearing in the show, and I think one of them was lime green culottes, and this young wife, she said, okay, get up on the runway and we'll see what you look. And she didn't really like, she didn't like the way this woman looked in lime green culottes, and I think her comment was, how can you make lime green culottes look bad?
Here's Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You should not lose sight of the cause here. The cause is to help the children that cannot help themselves. With an awful disease.
Right.
An awful and devastating disease.
Yes, of course.
This lady has a child with cancer. She needs the support. Maybe she seems eager to you.
Could I just
break into your popular group?
Charlie,
all she's looking for is support. I'm a psychiatric nurse.
Yes.
And I'm an RN, and I've seen this happen before.
Yes.
This woman needs your support. She does not need for you to push her away.
Why does she
and I
have
think
to,
the fact that you are
why
pushing
does she
her
have
away
to glom onto me? Why does she do that? Why does it have to be me?
Are you not the person that's responsible in your group or your community for raising funds for cancer research?
Yes, I'm the chairman
does
of our steering committee.
Does her child not have cancer?
Of our steering committee, yes.
Okay, does her child not have cancer?
Her daughter has cancer, and that's her way of trying to push her way into our clique.
Your clique.
What do you mean
this is about a clique?
No, but we have a group of women who are very friendly.
This is about a clique.
No,
it is not about raising
that.
Money to
exactly.
help children.
It's about
this
some
clique.
This is
about selfishness.
No.
This is about you being popular when you were very young.
Charlotte,
this
we
is
do.
About all of that PTSD rolling in on you because
the what?
Something strange happened to you in PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Something's happening.
I don't understand.
What does
that mean?
Charlotte, can I say something?
It just means that she had a hard time with some stalker when she was younger, and now she's relating. She's putting all of this back on this woman who's now has cancer.
Are you a doctor?
No, I'm a psychiatric nurse and have been
you're
for
a nurse.
30 years.
Okay, you're a nurse, so there's a big difference.
I'm a registered nurse. Yes,
and
ma'am, there
I
is.
I don't think that you can make a clinical diagnosis. Let me do this. Courtney's here. Go ahead and play the music again. Start the music again. I want to show you what I'm talking about, if I could, Charlotte. Courtney, go ahead and get her in the peach palazzo pants. And there's a red beaded vest that I want her to wear. Okay, go ahead. Turn. That's nice. She's going down the runway now, Charlotte. What I'm trying to do is give her... All right, she's wearing the silver mini with a rainbow halter in it and a little nautical captain's cap that says, Ahoy, matey. Oh, Jesus, H.
May I ask you something?
Yes.
Is this woman really confident? Is she very attractive?
Well, she thinks she's... Look,
is she attractive?
In a very... Can I say the word? In a very slut-like way.
You know, it just sounds like you have some jealousy going on. You have some insecurities.
Not at all. No, not at all.
And you're really losing sight of the real issue here, and that is to raise money for children.
Absolutely.
That need
and
money.
Now she's wearing the go-go
and
shorts
it's
with a mesh bustier.
It's very sad. You should not be heading a steering committee. You really
well, I
shouldn't.
Think that's very judgmental. All right, put her in.
It really is. It really is.
Can I ask
and I'm being
Charlotte?
Judgmental based on the things you're saying.
Yes.
There's no reason for you to act this way other than that personally you're insecure and jealous of this woman.
Oh, my God. Nothing could be further from... But I'm looking at her on the runway now. She's wearing the lime green culottes. There's thigh-high boots and a floppy hat, and she doesn't look good in it.
There you have it, ladies
it
and gentlemen.
Sucks.
You are absolutely jealous. What does it matter what she looks like in it? She's willing to volunteer to help children with cancer.
That's what we're trying to say here, Bobby,
Can I say something? How
what
can
does
you
it
make...
matter?
Charlotte...
She could look like a frog on a log. It doesn't matter.
Charlotte,
it doesn't matter.
How can
Don't
you make lime green culottes look bad?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
She would have said in a lime green culotte, she probably does look like a frog on a log. There's Bobby Dooley with that fashion show. Oh, is the Summertacular over? Oh. A floppy and a nautical hat that says Ahoy, matey. With the beaded vest and... It's a beautiful thing, man. My wife is in a fashion show like every year for our kids' school. You ever seen these? It's kind of interesting because what happens is all of the mothers of all the little kids, they get dolled up and suddenly, man, it's pretty sweet. It ain't bad for $2 and all the beer you can drink. You go to these fashion shows and then sometimes they have like an auction. And so my wife's in this thing every year, right? Oh, my God, the work they put into this. Now, this is a fashion show, and the bread that they raise, they give to the school, right? Because it's a Catholic school. And that means the archdiocese isn't going to make with 5 cents, let alone 10 bucks or 20 bucks. They wouldn't pay the salary of the guy that's hauling the garbage out. So if you're a Catholic school in any diocese in America, that basically means you're on your own, chump. Rot's a ruck. So naturally, when you're the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, let's say, which has $85 billion stuffed in a mattress someplace, and you're a little tiny Catholic school out in bum-you-know-what California, well, you're just going to have to make your own way, huh? So let's get all the mothers and all the wives and all of the women in the parish, dress them up like $2 hookers. I'm joking. And put them out on a fashion show. But actually, it's pretty nice, you know, I mean, and so they worked their asses off on this thing. And I said, where are you going tonight? She said, I got to go to the fashion show practice. What's the practice? You walk down a runway, you spin, and you come, oh, no, we're doing a whole thing. Turns out, man, they had like 5 different numbers, and they were doing like choreographed routines, and there were fireworks, and they had a whole American theme as they came out with American flags, and then the entire, Pancho Villa's band came out with machine guns and gunned down all the Catholic priests in the front row. It was great. And I think they raised about 20 bucks, so I would have given some money, but like I said, most of it went to the beer. I thought it was all you could drink. Actually, I was the only guy, me and another guy were the only two guys there. Now, why wouldn't a guy want to go to a fashion show? Well, I know it's your wife, but it's a whole bunch of everybody else's wives. Well, you know what I mean. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget a backstage pass at www.philhenryshow.com gives you access to all of the classic comedy archives that we have. They're the deepest comedy archives of any radio show in the history of the planet, baby. Right there at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
This hour we'll dip into the old mailbag. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. If you have comments on things that have been said on this program and you're absolutely outraged and you have not been able to get through to management and you have not been able to get through to the FCC or any of the powers that be and you just can't believe how this swill is allowed on the air and you need to vent, please send us an email. Chances are we'll read it, and it won't get on the air, but we will read it. And, well, come on. What do you think this is, huh? You think this is free speech around here or something? I get the free speech. Me. And that's it. Just call me Martha Stewart. Okay, I'm running this organization top to bottom, baby. And only I, Johnny Rocco, see? They'll never bring Rocco in. Never. I'm the guy that gets the final say on this show. No, we read anything that is intelligently written and makes a point. That's just make a freaking point, okay? Something that is beyond the usual dear blank bag rhymes with touche. As in douche? 1-800-449-8686, I think is the number, but I could be wrong. So, a suspected car thief has filed a $25 million claim with the city of Los Angeles over a videotaped police beating he contends left him with brain damage. Well, he ain't so brain damaged he didn't figure out to hire a lawyer and file a $25 million lawsuit, huh? Yeah! Stanley Miller alleged the June 23rd beating, you've heard about this one, the big videotape, it's in all the newspapers, it's on all the websites, caused spinal injuries, trunk torso injuries, internal injuries, emotional distress, bruises, and contusions. If the city rejects the claim filed on Thursday, he could seek damages through a lawsuit. The department isn't going to comment on pending litigation. I don't know why they always ask these guys, do you have a comment? Look, I'm being sued. What do you think? I can't say anything. Understand, folks, that when you get sued, you can't say anything to the press. The reason why you can, but it's not smart to say anything to the press, because if you do, any of these things can be taken out of context, used by the plaintiff, and you're just in deeper water than you want to be in. And so people generally read that to mean, no comment, huh? So you must be guilty. No, it's just the attorneys tell you don't say anything. Police Chief William Bratton told the city council 2 weeks ago Miller's injuries appeared to be minor scrapes and bruises. You know, this is all the city of L.A. needs, another $25 million payout to some guy that got his freaking bell rung by a flashlight held by some cop who may or may not have been doing the right or the wrong. I don't know what the cop did. If you'll, like I said a couple of weeks ago, do you mind if I wait for the evidence to get in on this, or am I supposed to jump on the bandwagon screaming for somebody's neck in a noose? Police allege Miller led them on a 30-minute chase after they saw him run a stop sign in a reportedly stolen car. The chase ended when he jumped out of the car in Compton. He was tackled by cops as he stopped, and he appeared to be surrendering. He was on the ground when Officer John Hatfield struck him 11 times with a metal flashlight. Interesting how we're always now counting these strikes, these blows, whether they're with a PR-24 or a flash. There's one, there's two, there's three, that's $1 million, that's $3 million, $4 million, $5 million. Rodney King, how many times was he hit? We all know, 56, baby. The only other 56 I knew about was DiMaggio's hitting streak. That was 56 games. Rodney King got it 56 times on a head. I think that's the only guy to challenge DiMaggio, Rodney King. And Lawrence Taylor was number 56. Now, Hatfield, the officer in question, said he struck Miller after another officer felt something in the man's pocket that he mistook in as a gun. LAPD officials have said they recovered wire cutters. All right, the guy made a mistake. Wasn't a gun, they were wire cutters. You know, here's the question that I have. I don't care what city you live in. I don't care what county, what state, what country you live in. Don't you think it's time that we decide, or maybe I could put it better by saying this. Just what is it that we want cops to do? What are we asking them to do anyway? I've lost track of what it is we want cops to do. Does anybody out there want to give me an idea? Because I don't know what we want cops to do anymore. Are they supposed to arrest guys or not arrest them, or arrest them politely or otherwise let them go? Or do they have to be so superhuman that in every conceivable instance they need to step back and assess the situation? See, I told you one of the reasons why cops empty the clip into a guy. A lot of times you'll, well, why do they have to shoot him 8 times? Well, because a lot of cops got dead shooting a guy 1 time and then assessing the situation. You understand what I mean by assessing the... There's been a school of thought down to the years. A police officer fires once. Now he steps back and assesses the situation. In the moment that he's stepping back and assessing whether or not he dropped the guy with that gun, with that shot, the guy raises up on him. He's a dead cop. So they are trained. Don't think you're going to drop a guy with one bullet. Some guys will take a bullet and look at you and grin, man, like they just had a nice cream cheese snack on a graham cracker. That is great. Like it tickled. Well, why didn't he? You want to know why we got instant replay in the NFL? It's because, you know, when it's happening, boom, 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 baby, you don't know what's going on. They ain't got instant replay with coppers, right? Why don't we go back and look at the videotape, Eddie, and see if you should have beat him 18 times. No, I should. Okay, well, let's take those 18 times back. Maybe the cops ought to walk around with a few million in their pockets, so every time they blow it, they'll go to the instant replay. Oh, I shouldn't have hit you. Here's a few million, kid. Please don't sue me. And, oh, yeah, we'll let you go. I mean, what are we asking cops to do anyway? Arrest people in a law-abiding manner, Phil. Arrest people in a law-abiding manner. Okay, all right, that's fine. Arrest people in a law-abiding manner. Do we know what that law is? Well, yeah, abuse of force. Really? Can you define that? Well, you cannot abuse a suspect under the color of authority. Well, what do you mean, abuse a suspect? I just heard a guy today on TV, you know what cops are going to use now? Down in Miami, they're using tasers. Now, why do you think they're using tasers? Because they don't want to kill anybody anymore. They want to drop a suspect and not kill him. Well, no sooner did they say they're going to use tasers, guess what? Here comes a guy saying it may be a violation of their human rights because it could be used as a torture weapon. Like a gun ain't torture enough. Even when the cops are struggling to find an answer to the use of lethal force, to wit, using perhaps a taser or other some kind of electroshock instrument, now they got Amnesty International telling them that it might be torture. This is the same Amnesty International, by the way, which is finding everything wrong that we're doing in the in Iraq. But when some guy gets his head sawed off, they ain't got nothing to say about that because that's a terrorist organization and that's not under their purview. They don't have anything to say about that. Hey, I'd like to talk about the human rights abuses being committed by organizations that are being given diplomatic status in some countries, and in point of fact, they're terror organizations. Well, I can't talk about that because, hey, you know what? That's not, that Amnesty International, they don't swing with that. And this is coming, by the way, from a Democrat! I gotta keep saying that because I more people will say, well, why, if you're not if you're a Democrat, why are you in favor of everything? Look at dude. Rather than talk to me about why I'm a Democrat, why don't you ask yourself what a Democrat is? Once you get that one down, then we can have ourselves a big, long, wonderful discussion. I'm so sick and tired of this party that I belong to not standing for a bloody thing. Not standing for anything. Nothing. There's not one stand, there's not one platform, not one plank that represents Democratic Party principles. Not a one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you realize what I'm saying? Here's what I really believe. I believe that sometimes conservative is needed and sometimes liberal is needed. If you call yourself a conservative, well, you're nothing more than a muddled thinker. You are a muddled, confused thinker. Same way that if you call yourself a liberal. Because sometimes conservative thinking is not what is called for. Liberal thinking is what's called for. And sometimes liberal thinking isn't what's called for. Conservative thinking is. In other words, folks, there's all kinds of colors in the rainbow, and there's all kinds of ways to respond to a situation. Some days, that, like my old man used to say, the bear gets you, and the other days, you crap on the bear. Right? So how can you say, in every given situation, I'm going to be a conservative? In every given situation, conservative thinking is the way to go. Well, no, it ain't. Sometimes it's the most destructive, wrong-headed thing to do. And the same thing goes for every which way, man. I'm a liberal. Then, of course, we got our libertarian friends, and they don't know what the hell they stand for. And don't give me this stuff about how the least government, the better, because that, once again, that's muddled thinking. Sometimes you need a little bit of government, baby, to make the world go around. So that brings me back to my question about cops. I understand that there's some bad cops. There have been bad cops down through the years. There have been bad cops since we've had cops. There have been bad cops since the very first Metropolitan Police Force was ever put together in the 1830s in London, New York, called the Peelers, the Bobbies, the London Metropolitan Police. Then we had the New York Metropolitan Police, the New York Municipal Police. We've had all kinds of cops and all kinds of police abuse. And let me tell you something, if you know anything about history, if you think cops are bad today, you don't know anything about how they were 100 years ago. I mean, I'm telling you right now, it was beyond belief. They kicked people to death in their cells, they beat the crap out of them as recently as the 20s, 30s. Well, any time before the Miranda ruling came down, coppers were pretty much free to do whatever the hell they wanted to do to a suspect. And believe me, they did it. Now we're putting a little bit of a limit on these guys, and we're trying to weed out the bad cops. But in the process, some good cops can't do their job at all. Scumbags, car thieves, crack addicts, junkies, drug dealers, every kind of lowlife in the world is being allowed to sue or get away with freaking homicide, man, because he got his brains rattled by a flashlight when he didn't get his hands out when a cop said, get your freaking hands out. Put your hands here. That doesn't mean you're going to think about it. You do it. In an instant like that, when a cop thinks that maybe somebody's got a gun, when maybe his life is in danger, yeah, he's going to start. You ought to be thankful it was only a flashlight. I don't know what. If I was a cop, I wouldn't know what the hell they want me to do. You want me to arrest people? Up to what point do you want me to arrest people? Well, we want you to make a legal arrest. Can you tell me what that is? It's all spelled out in your police handbook, and yeah, I've read it a million freaking times, and every time I go by the handbook, you guys find some other reason why I did something wrong. Like that whole Rodney King thing. Those coppers, apparently, they didn't do it by the book because they shouldn't have hit the guy as many times as they did, even though the guy didn't do what they wanted him to do. He had his hands under his body, he had his hands stiff at his side, they tased him, they dropped him to the ground. It all looked like one big, fat Gestapo action. So those guys go to jail, fine. Civil rights are violated, good. On to the next case. Now we got some cops. Every guy with a video camera's out there rolling it on, coppers out there trying to make an arrest in every kind of situation, and immediately every brain surgeon out there thinks they know what happened. And of course it's got something to do with race, yes. It's got to be because the guy's black. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. And maybe we just don't have any clue in the world what it is we want cops to do, other than we think we want them to arrest bad guys. No, we don't. We don't want them to arrest bad guys, because when they arrest bad guys, we got to nitpick every which way that they do it. Well, if it's illegal, it's illegal. You can't tell me what's an illegal arrest. I don't think there's a court in the country that can explain to me what an illegal arrest is, what an abuse of power is under the color of authority. Because there's a million different ways that guys get arrested in this country every day, and you got to have a judge look at every last one of those to tell me exactly what is called for, what isn't called for in the multitude of police handbooks and the constitutional interpretations and the Miranda this and the Miranda that. We don't know anymore. So while these cops might have been doing the wrong thing, nobody can tell me anymore what the right thing is. So, you know what? These guys are confused, and they're arresting people the way they are arresting them, because the people aren't involved in the way police do police work anyway. And the American people don't have a clue as to how it is they want cops to behave or how they want people to get arrested. That's the problem. Just like it was the American people that caused 9/11. If you want to know who caused 9/11, you and me. You want to know who the problem is? You and me. You want to know why the country is walking around with its head up its rear end? You and I are. How come we don't have a responsive government? Because of you and me. That's why I'm never going to run for political office. If I got out actually on the stump and made a speech like this, man, I'd be assassinated. Because if there's one thing the American people can't take, it's a little bit of truth every now and again. And that is about themselves. Having said all of that, we're going to get to our mailbag where I have to read truth about myself. It's traumatic. Oh, the Martha Stewart of it all. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I've got a mailbag coming up in a few minutes here on the Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton, a flashback with our favorite pharmaceutical telemarketer. Chris will be talking about some kind of disgusting thing, I'm sure. It'll probably have something to do with venereal disease and his dating life. That'll be coming up on the Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, you know you can get a shot that'll keep you from drinking? Now, why would anybody want to do that? I just read that in the newspaper just now. Not that I read newspapers, but that's what I call my computer now. It's my newspaper. You can take a shot and you won't have to drink. I should have gotten that shot before I left for Mexico, man. Doesn't do me any good reading about it now. Here is Patricia. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, how are you, Phil?
Good, good, ma'am. Thank you.
Question. Now, why do you, don't seem to understand when the cops chase these white guys, they don't do them like that. They pull them over and they get them down and they take them on in. And they say something like, oh, he had a family problem. But they want to kill the black guy. And here's the deal. We don't know what has...
How do you know? I don't see too many videotapes rolling on white guys that are getting popped.
I see some of these shows with white guys and they don't do that.
Wait a second. I've seen... You talking about cops?
Cops do not beat white boys when they kill
I don't see them beating up any black guys in that show either.
Oh, I know some black guys have been shot in the back by police. Here's the deal, Phil. That's what we saw on television. If you can see that, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I know some guys who've been shot in the back. They're brutalizing
no
black
doubt.
People out there.
No doubt. But my question is this: simply, what are we asking cops to do now?
I think it's going to get to the point where people, African Americans, and people just going to start shooting at them. They are undercover Ku Klux Klan men. See,
shooting at them,
the country.
Ma'am. Let me tell you something. The only thing that you're going to advocate is an all-out Wild West show out there between cops and citizens of all colors. You're going
to
have black people shooting at cops. You're going
to
have whites shooting at blacks. You're going to have blacks shooting at whites. I mean, if that's what you want, okay, I guess you're going
to
get it.
That's what it's going to come down to if this continues.
Well, great. Then bring it. You know, I mean, what I'm trying to say is...
They're thugs wearing a uniform. That's all they are. They're
okay,
thugs.
If you're saying that about every police officer, then you're also indicting black police officers as well. Now, are they beating up black...
Most of them must stay into that fraternity. They must lie for each other.
So they're all a bunch of... The black cops as well are a bunch of Klansmen.
When you get in there, you're forced. You're forced to follow the crowd.
Now, let me ask you, how do you know so much about the internal workings of the police department?
Because I grew up on the west side of Chicago, and I as a 12-year-old girl, hear gunshots at 2 in the morning, wake up the next day, and the community's talking about how the police shot so-and-so's brother, so-and-so's son.
Well, the Chicago cops, I mean, are we not talking about, okay, so there's police brutality.
Not really. It's hatred and it's racism.
All right, and every single cop and every single cop is a part of this fraternity of hate and racism.
I've met some black boys and shot in the back. You don't see that on television.
No, I'm just asking. So there's no hope because every single cop that we're talking about is a part of this fraternity of hate and racism.
What I'm saying is, if the others keep quiet, they are part of it too. Just silence you're part of it, and they have this code of silence that we need to break.
Right.
Most of them,
what do you call
not...
what happened to those cops when Rodney King got beat?
Well, I mean, we had the video. What did they say?
All right. So, in other words, even if they were innocent, if we had the video, there's nothing they can do about it.
Do you know what happened
when that kid was beaten? Do you know exactly what happened there?
Well, now they're saying that.
No. Do you know what happened on the ground?
Yes.
You do.
It was in the paper today that...
You know exactly what happened.
One cop came forward and said they lied, that they did not find those...
No, you're wrong, ma'am. Nobody said that they lied. No,
they
nobody said that they lied. No one said they lied. They said they thought he had... They didn't use the word lie. They said they were mistaken in thinking he had wire cutters.
Oh, they lie straight up, just like they always do. They lie like a dog.
Hey, you know what? The west side of Chicago sounds like a pretty good place for you to go back to.
Hey, I love it.
Yeah, see you later. 1-800-44, because Chicago, that's a toilet. I don't blame you, ma'am, for coming out here. Cops beat you up here. They say, have a nice day. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You want to say something's unfair? Now, here, listen to this. Everything I said about Whoopi Goldberg, I believe. I don't think she could sell... I don't think Whoopi Goldberg was able to sell Slim Fast to freaking Oliver Hardy. I think that's how lousy a spokesperson... Which, by the way, Whoopi, that's what you were, a spokesperson, not a spokesman, as you said you were. See, as long as we're trying to be very now, very wow, Charlie... Let's just keep everything on the, let's just keep everything in a very sweet and PC thing. So you're a spokeswoman, you're not a spokesman, as you referred to yourself in your brilliant comments today. In any event, Whoopi Goldberg got fired by Slim Fast because she can't sell the stuff. She thinks it's because of the comments that she made. And maybe Slim Fast said it was because of the comments that she made. Having said that, let's say that Slim Fast got rid of her because of her political standing, not because she's a lousy salesperson when it comes to selling Slim Fast. Are you aware that Kmart is still hanging on to Martha Stewart and she's going inside for 5 months? Now that, right there, that's what gets people crazy. That's what gets guys like me crazy. See, this is the kind of thing that American business is constantly having to battle and is never good at explaining. Why don't you guys just come out and say it, and everything is going to be copacetic? You cats will hang on to, you'd hang on to Lucifer himself if the guy was pitching your burgers or your tampons or your towels or whatever it is that you're selling and was making you money. You would use Satan as your spokesperson or spokesman or spokeswoman. Whichever the case may be, they would. Why can't you guys admit that? Why won't you just come out and say it to the American people? Because all the time, we act like a bunch of children. Well, if you would have just told us the truth, Oh, come on, man. You know, you figure it out. If you're grown up, you can take a look at how the world operates. Bush lied when he said that. He didn't lie. He got the bad information. You know something? If you just take a look behind the scenes at the way life operates, you won't be reaching for these extremes of thought. It must have been a lie. It's a childish way to go about life. But if we're children and we need to have the truth, otherwise we're going to hold our breath. The American businessman and the way that he or she or businesswoman does business is this phony presentation of them being not only good for business, but good for the community. Now, maybe there's some guys out there that act in a high-minded way. You know, some businesses who will really reach down and maybe even lose a dollar or two if it means that, you know, they can do the right thing. But remember what I said. When I said a dollar or two, I mean just that, a dollar or two. These guys ain't going to take big losses. If it can go a long way with the public, if they're being sweethearts and they'll take a hit, you know, a few million here, a few million there, they'll go ahead and do it. Because after all, it'll make them look like they're the second coming of Jesus. And, hey, down the road, it might do them, you know, pretty well in making money the next 2, 3, 4 years, the next 2, 3, 4 fiscal quarters. But the fact is, if you're losing money for them or you're not selling the product, they want to get rid of you. If you're selling the product, they don't care if you are going, they don't care if you're on death row. Of course, it depends. Can you sell the product? Can you sell the product? Let's take, for instance, Ludacris and that whole Pepsi or Coke thing. It's no sweat off of them dumping that guy. First of all, he's a clown. I don't think that guy was selling. He couldn't sell soda pop, man, to the French Foreign Legion. Well, how much of that stuff was he selling? If the guy was actually doing the business for Pep, they're going to hold on to him, believe me. Maybe not as likely as they'd hold on to a Martha Stewart because he is a rapper. There's that gangster image, or should I say gangsta, because I'm from Baston. But Martha Stewart, she's going to go to jail for 5 months and they're still holding on to her crap at Kmart? Why? I'll tell you why. She's selling the stuff for them, man. She's making them money. And that's all there is to it. Nobody gets fired because they make controversial comments. No one gets canned because they're a loose cannon. People lose their gigs, baby, bottom line, because they ain't making the kind of money for the company that the company thinks that they should be making for them. As a matter of fact, in this business, I hear so many guys, they lose their gig and they turn around and say, well, it's because I made a controversial comment on the air. Yeah, maybe the guy did make a controversial comment. Believe me, if the dude was pulling in the big dollars in terms of the ad revenues, the company would overlook it. Need I mention any names? Yay! No, I guess I don't. Now let's move on to Martha Stewart. She's selling those Martha Stewart painted striped fabric shower curtains like they're going out of style, brother. She's selling her striped bath accessories, her striped towels. She's got a real thing for stripes. She's also got a thing called a maritime rug. Ahoy, matey! She's also got her maritime bath accessories. See her wiping your rear end with something that's got an anchor on it, I guess. Then they got the Blue Daisy bath rug. She's got her blue... And they sell this stuff like it's going out of style, man. They can't keep it in stock. They're hiring guys overtime to just pull this crap off the truck and get it on the shelf because there's another set of waddling fat housewives from Wisconsin going to want to go in there and buy themselves that maritime rug. So they, even though they're in a landlocked state, they can feel like they're out there on the wild coast of the, you know, the South Pacific or something. Here's another page they got of Martha Stewart stuff. Blue Daisy towels, everyday what is it, Martha Stewart Everyday? Is that the name of the brand, Everyday? Because everything's an everyday. Martha Stewart Everyday this, Martha Stewart Everyday that. Yeah, Martha Stewart Everyday, you're cleaning the can. Yeah, I got your Martha Stewart every day. Martha Stewart, every day you're on the yard, okay? You're doing you're weightlifting. Every day you're in, you're making license plates, baby. Martha Stewart, every day, deck stripe towels, the aquarium bath accessories. Aquarium bath accessories. So what is that? Those are, what the hell is that? It looks like some kind of it's a soap dish with a fish on it. Martha Stewart Everyday Clearance Summer Garden Bath Accessories. They're getting $9.99 for that. Guess what they're getting for the aquarium bath accessories? $8.49. The daisy towels are $9. And the stock price is going through the roof. You know that, don't you? Oh, yeah. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with a very clear and very completely, uncontrovertible point of view that as long as you're bringing down the large money for the big daddies upstairs, baby, that's cool. Now, I'm going to ask you something, because I've gotten into arguments with friends of mine over this. Is Jimmy Swaggart and Oral Roberts and all those televangelists, are they thieves and crooks, or are we just gullible schmucks? I maintain, and I've always maintained, that the Jimmy Swaggarts and the Oral Roberts of the world are, frankly, they're my heroes, because they do great television entertainment, and they make a nice piece of change doing it. And if some old lady wants to stuff thousands of dollars into an envelope and send it off to Ernest Ainsley or that cat with no neck, I think that's Ernest Ainsley, or Jack Van Impe and his wife Galactica, then that's her problem. Should there be laws against false advertising? Yes. But as long as you're telling the truth, you're up front, then you're in the clear. Now, if a business says, we got Martha Stewart as our spokesperson, and we continue to buy those products, we're making a very clear statement to that company, it's fine that Martha Stewart is your spokesperson. And Martha Stewart, just listen to the calls we had today, she's cool. You know, 5 months inside, hey, she only did what we'd all do, this and that. Whoopi Goldberg, she's gone. But it ain't because Whoopi said something controversial. And it isn't because Martha Stewart is going to jail. Martha Stewart's going to jail, but she still sells the stuff, so Kmart ain't cutting her loose. No time at all, man. Not any time, this century. That woman is going to be in bed with them, if you'll pardon the expression, for a long time. Whoopi is gone, not because she said stuff about George Bush, but because Whoopi is lousy at selling weight-reduced stuff. Just look at the size of her. I mean, how are you going to do it? She can't sell it, okay? Now, one thing that they ought to have Whoopi pitching are In-N-Out burgers. In fact, they could have her and Michael Moore. They can sound like Ben and Jerry. Now, Ben and Jerry, I love listening to them because they both sound like they weigh 1,600 tons apiece. You could have Whoopi hawking the double-double-double, and Michael could be doing the double-double animal style. Or how about the 4x4 animal style? But not weight, not slim equipment, baby. Not that slim-off stuff. What's it called? Slim-fast? Whatever. But I'll tell you right now, I'm going to boycott Martha Stewart's stuff, although I've never even bought it in the first place. So, okay, I promised the mailbag. It's coming up in just a moment. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Do we have time to do the mailbag and the Chris Norton flashback? We do? Well, we'll try and get it all in before we knock off for the night. This is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. I'm Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Chris Norton was on our program. He's a pharmaceutical salesman, a telemarketer. He says they need to come up with a good oral antibiotic to treat syphilis because he's afraid of shots. And they need to do this before they get a cure for Alzheimer's. That's how important it is.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, I've got several points I'd like to make to you. Number one, you said you don't have time to go through a girl's purse looking for a condom.
Yes,
why
ma'am.
Don't you carry your own?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you carry your own? You're the one with the disease. You're the one that should be responsible.
No, what I'm saying is when you have a strong, because I do have a very strong libido.
So do I.
Okay.
So do I.
All right. You don't have time to go through her purse looking for one.
You should have your own. You shouldn't have to go through her purse, number one.
What do you mean
you're
my
gonna
own?
You're going to expose yourself to other diseases.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean my own?
Huh?
Your own. Why don't you buy your own?
Why don't you
usually the girls that the women that I've had sex with have always kept, supplies.
You should carry your
They're
own.
They're always supplied.
You're the one with the disease, sir.
No, ma'am, I don't want to get the disease from some woman who lied to me and told me she didn't have it. And
well, wait a minute, is that your way of being safe? You ask her, hey, do you have any STD?
Well, protocol, I mean, if you're, I don't know, where Mr. Henry, today, in today's dating world, generally what a young man will say to a young woman is, you know, I like you a lot, whatever, you want to go to bed, and do you have syphilis or any other kind of, you know, running sores?
And that's what you ask her before you romance her.
Yes, sir.
Do you have syphilis or any other running sores?
Not all women are honest, and not all men are honest.
I don't know what. Well, yeah, that's exactly the lie.
You carry your own protection.
And do you carry any, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
You
yes,
do?
I do.
Okay.
And so do the guys
well,
I go with.
That's what I'm talking about. You carry them, you know, even though
so
you're...
So do the guys I go with.
You sound a little old for me, but I would love to have met
I
you.
I am a little old for you, sir.
You know,
another point I want to make...
But you do sound like a responsible woman for a man that has a test drive.
Another point I want to make, sir, is the fact that you said you should find a cure for syphilis, which they've a cure for. They have no cure for Alzheimer's. My sister was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 52 years old. That's not that old.
Oh, well, it's okay, but it sounds pretty old to me, but...
Well, it isn't, sir. I'm 51. I ain't got Alzheimer's.
Well,
she had it at 52.
Are you? How old are you, ma'am?
How old am I? I'm 55.
And you have sex?
Yes, I have sex. I have sex 3 or 4 times a day, if it's any of your business.
Okay, but then you also carry the prophylactic.
So do the guys I go with. I very seldom use my
See,
own.
See, that's what she's saying.
They have
yeah.
their own
yeah.
protection.
By the way, it's prophylactic. Thank you, Patricia, for your call.
No, I just want to ask the lady one more question. If you carry it, then how come they have to? That's insane.
Because they have sex with other people, too, that do not carry it.
Oh, okay. Well, how many different guys do you have sex with during the day?
During the day?
Yeah, how many different men?
That's an awfully improper question to ask.
Yeah, that's not your
no,
business.
No, I mean... I just want to know, is it three of... do you have kids?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you if they're all from the same guy or not, because...
You know, you're getting a little personal. Anyway, Patricia, thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, are you living in a town where there are docks?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Time now for the Phil Hendry Show mailbag. And if you'd like to email us, you can do so at phs@philhendryshow.com. Hi, Phil. I come to California once a year for a trade show. During the show, I'm generally carrying $10,000 to $20,000 in cash at any time. In Arizona, where I live, I have a license to carry a gun. I took classes and had a background check done. That right doesn't exist for very many people in California. You need a special permit that's almost impossible to get before California will trust you to carry a gun. If your gun is in your car, the ammo has to be in the trunk. Good luck in the next riots. If you get beaten half to death, I hope you consider suing your idiot lawmakers. Greg, a backstage pass member in Chino Valley, Arizona. Well, I'll just say this to you, Greg. If for whatever reason I find myself in the middle of a riot scene, I'm not going to worry about whether it was legal for me to have the ammo in the gun or in the trunk. I'll take my chances. You know what? I'll throw myself on the mercy of the court after I blast some fool trying to pull my door open. Thank you. Phil, one of my favorite classic bits. Dean Wheeler's wife is accused of murdering 5 babies and a nurse, so he comes on to defend what a great mother she is and keeps going on about her wonderful oatmeal cookies. Even as it comes out that she also carjacked a station wagon, shot 6 nuns, and pushed them out on the freeway shortly before burning down a bed and breakfast, killing an entire... Wait a minute, man. Did we do this bit? Because if we did, we ought to get a Marconi. Dear Phil, one of my favorite bits, Dean Wheeler's wife is accused of murdering 5 babies and a nurse, so he comes on to defend what a great mother she is and keeps going on about her wonderful oatmeal cookies. Even as it turns out, she also carjacked a station wagon, shot 6 nuns, pushed them out on the freeway shortly before burning down a bed and breakfast, killing an entire family of wheat farmers, and a troop of Boy Scouts. Solid Mike. God. Right there, we ought to get a Marconi or something, but will we? No, baby. No. This is underground radio, man. This is alternative radio. Alternative shows don't get awards. They get fired. Oh, I shouldn't say that. All right. Hi, Phil. Listening from Singapore and found your show. Thanks for making radio fun again. Andrew Crothers. Singapore? Where's that? Phil, we now play a drinking game in your honor. Every time you mention Michael Moore, we take a shot. Every time you say Michael Moore is fat, we take two shots. Bottoms up, Tim Severin. What if I just say fat ass? I'm a fan of Michael Moore, but I like to hear the views of both sides, so I was interested listening to Phil talk about the tenuous sleuthing that goes on in F9/11, Fahrenheit 9/11. This was before I saw the film. Having now seen the entirety of the film, I'd have to agree that the amateur detective work was somewhat embarrassing, but it makes up a small part of the work, and the rest of it was just brilliant filmmaking. Why is all your political commentary so black and white and obtuse?
What?
What is obtuse? Oh, we don't have any more time? Okay. We have one more really big, long letter, which we'll have to keep for another mailbag. What are you talking about, dude? I just pointed out specifically what's wrong with this movie. Black and white. The truth is black or white, man, when it comes to, you know, like 2 + 2 = 4. And if Bush wasn't involved with the Carlyle Group, man, Bush wasn't involved with the Carlyle Group. So how can you say that he was in bed with the Saudi family? And how can you say that he ordered bin Laden's family out of the country and wasn't him? Am I being obtuse? This is the Phil Hendry Show. World famous and obtuse.